I love these people who say things like, I should make more money. And then they say, libertarians are just selfish. They just care about themselves. Libertarians are so selfish. And then they say things like, where is it? And it's heartbreaking to me. It doesn't pay what I feel it should. Oh my goodness, you're not getting paid as much money as you want. Hey, how about you be a little less selfish? You sound like a fucking libertarian. You can scream and shout with all your might. Oh, and you can scream, shout, whine, cry, snivel, piss, moan. Look for a safe space. Especially in the wake of the Las Vegas shooting, the safe spaces are necessary. All across the United States, privileged upper middle class white people taking out student loans to get college diplomas in things like philosophy, medieval poetry, journalism, English, sociology, international communications, business, recreation. Yes, all over the United States, little 18, 19, 20-year-old white kids are being traumatized. Speaking of trauma, this is Stating the Obvious Podcast. It is a weapons platform from which I launch the cruise missile of my intellect, homes in on and destroys fucking social justice warriors and statists of all ilks all across the globe, and brings with it not just the 50-caliber machine gun, but the trauma. Oh, the trauma. The trauma that some people have encountered, like the guy on Twitter who tweeted at me and said, I have ADHD and don't talk about this because it's a real disease. Oh, I traumatized him. He was traumatized. Oh, great one. You talked about something and I didn't like it. I'm so traumatized. Yes. Great one himself, bringing the trauma for 12 fucking years. November the 1st, 2017, the year of our Lord and Savior, the Trumpenfuhrer, 2017. Be the 13th, almost said 14th. I'm aging myself prematurely. It's kind of like ejaculating prematurely, isn't that quite the same? Prematurely aged myself. It would be 13 years of Stating the Obvious Podcast, 13 years of hurting people's feelings, and it's only gotten more offensive as time goes by. Ah, the good old days. Remember the good old days. The good old days of this podcast when not only was I a right-wing, I mean, I was a right-wing minarchist, but I was still a right-wing statist. And when I was, generally speaking, I think usually trying to be nice. And I grew up. I stopped being a statist, and I stopped being nice to people. I found being nice doesn't really... It doesn't. You know, and this is something that Vox Day talks about in his book, Social Justice Warriors Always Lie. You know, when the social justice warriors attack, your first instinct, if you're a normal person and just not a complete douchebag, you know, your first instinct is to... I don't want to necessarily say back down. Okay, I got it. Your first instinct, I'm trying to think how to phrase it. Your first instinct is to try to seek some sort of common ground with this person who's attacking you so that you can find a place from which both of you can work to see, can you reach rational disagreement? You know, can you find areas of commonality where you agree with each other and say, okay, well, we're together on this, but we see things different, right? Our those of us who are normal, those of us who don't have mental problems, our normal impulse, and once again, when people say anarchy will not work because everyone will run down the streets and kill and rape each other, no. And then you'll say, well, yeah, they will see the Las Vegas shooting. Okay, there's how many hundreds of thousands of people in the United States, and out of all of those people, one guy went out and shot some people. One person. Do you realize that every other person in the United States of America right now did not shoot people in Las Vegas? Your argument is not an argument. Your argument is your fucking emotions. Okay? Normal people seek to coexist with other humans. Because normal people like other people. We enjoy being around other people. I think there was a point to this. Where was I going? See, I've already derailed. Our train of thought is doing that. It's doing that. Hold on, I've almost got it. So anarchy doesn't work. Yeah, but it does because people don't really want to kill other people. Because then... Fuck. If I had some show notes or something, it'd be great. But that would require work. And work is a social construct created by the patriarchy to oppress women. Being nice. Got it. You see, normal people... Normal people who are not podcasters will try to be nice to other people. There was a time when I thought being nice to other people was a good idea. I have now learned that just like Vox Day writes, when a social justice warrior attacks you, you don't try to seek common ground with them and understanding and all this other stuff because they're not interested in understanding you or cooperating with you or being nice to you, or they're just interested in attacking you so that they can virtue signal to other SJWs. And it's the same thing with this podcast. I'm beyond being nice, right? I'm like, when someone sends me a fucking Twitter message and says, don't talk about ADHD, I have ADHD and you just don't know what you're talking about. No, I'm not going to be nice to you. I'm done with this fucking being nice to people. I've done this in the past. I'm done with it. I'm not going to seek common ground with stupid people. An attack is an attack. And if you show any weakness, the SJWs and the leftists and the fucking idiots will just come at you even harder than ever. My hot tea, brewing up another mug of mint hot tea, not hottie. I do not have any hotties with me today. It's almost ready for consumption. That's kind of like capitalism. That happens in a capitalist environment, consumption. It destroys the earth. Oh no, it's global warming. All right. Yum. Dude, there's a dude bro. There's a dude bro, college boy outside. Oh, he's watching his dog take a shit. Dude, there's nothing more manly than picking up dog shit. I'll tell you guys what. All right, adjunct cookbook. So I follow the link. The adjunct cookbook. This goes to this website, which is basically all about how adjuncts are underpaid and all this other stuff. What's this? Part of what? So, 48 pages of food bank friendly concoctions. This book costs $7.50 and it's 48 pages. Okay, you know what? If you're going to spend money on a book, why don't you buy something that might help you out, such as Worthless by Aaron Clary? Oh, wait, you're an adjunct professor. You already went to college. It's too late.
It's too late. It's too late.
Too late. Here you go. Here you go. If you know an underpaid adjunct professor, okay, buy a copy of Worthless by Aaron Clary. and walk up to them and do, so you walk up to them and go, hey, Rachel, you know, I got this book here that you really should read. It's about how not to get a worthless college diploma and not live the rest of your life in poverty, and then hold it out to them and then look at them and then pull the book back and start laughing and say, oh, wait, it's too late. Oh, all right, I gotta go. Do I know any adjunct professors right now? Oh my God, I want to do this. Shit, I don't actually know any adjunct professors right this minute. I dated an adjunct professor once for a while. I've told you guys this, she taught French. Interestingly enough, she didn't live in abject poverty. She actually was able to save enough money to, like, do stuff. She would travel to France and stuff like that. Once again, it's all about... So this is when you sit here and... Okay, let me finish this. Let me come back to that in a second. The adjunct cookbook. In here it says it has local food bank listings. So people who are adjunct professors need to buy a book in order to get access to food bank listings. Have you ever heard of the internet? Go on the internet, go to Google, because Google virtue signals like a motherfucker, and you type in food bank. You will get information about your local food bank. That's something Google will never censor. Then we have all, there's a whole thing about apparently there's a national adjunct walkout day. Wednesday, oh, see, this is ancient. Wednesday, February 25th, 2015. Maybe you guys should stop whining on Twitter and update the information. Then over here, we've got the adjunct coloring book. There's a coloring book for adjuncts. It's a 48-page publication. Chock full of detailed coloring pages, puzzles, poetry, and related messages that will instead induce stress. Wait, induce stress? That's what it says. The adjunct coloring book will not reduce... What? For many years now, therapists have touted the psychological and physiological benefit adults receive by coloring in outlines on a page. Their observations have spawned a generation of adult coloring books designed to reduce stress and to help recover from grief and induce tranquility. An adult coloring book like no other, the adjunct coloring book will not reduce stress. So basically, it's a coloring book of stuff that's supposed, you know, I'm sure it's just, I don't know how you color a picture of an adjunct whining about how they don't make enough money because they have a worthless degree. So anyhow, back to the adjunct professor I dated. She taught French, and this was, God, how long has this been now? Let's say this was about 14 years ago. And I want to put this in perspective because so 14 years ago, were the millennials a thing yet? I'm still not really sure exactly where millennials are. She taught French, and she told me that one day in the process of teaching her French class, she was teaching them how to do numbers and to talk about time in French, right? So we say it's 12:35 or, you know, whatever. How do you say that in French? Which I don't know. I don't speak French. The point is, she discovered that, and this is all her words. I wasn't there. This is how she told the story to me. She's as left-wing statist as fuck, so she can't possibly be lying. She's a liberal. She has a worthless degree in French, so she can't, and she's a woman, so she can't lie. It's impossible for her to lie. She told me that she had to stop teaching the French stuff and teach the kids how to read an analog clock. because, once again, she said half of her students, her class size, I mean, she had small, so like 40 was like the max class that she would have. Her classes were usually between 30 and 40 students. So let's go lowball 30. There were 15 kids in that room who did not know how to read an analog clock. 12 years of public education, couldn't read a clock. She had to stop teaching French and teach them to read a clock. Let us return to the article. Maybe we'll get through it today. I don't know. They resort to food banks and Goodwill. There is even an adjunct's cookbook that shows them how to turn beef scraps, chicken bones, and orange peel into meals. Oh, so I wanted to see if the recipes of the adjunct cookbook were actually online so I could verify that there's a recipe that uses chicken bones and orange peel. Well, I was not able to verify that. And then there are those. Oh, and anyway, by the way, she is an adjunct, but she was not living in poverty. She wasn't. In fact, we went on, that was one of the times I went up to Estes Park. Talked about Estes Park a few episodes ago, right? Estes Park is a third world nation. We went up to Estes Park for a weekend and stayed up there, stayed in this nice hotel room, had a jacuzzi right there in the hotel room. She paid for the whole thing. Once again, not making this up. Great one. No woman. No, she did. She drove up there. She paid for the gas to drive up there. She paid for the hotel room. She paid for all the food. She paid for the whole fucking weekend. Every bit of it. And she wasn't starving to death. I ate at her house quite a bit. She would cook. I would cook. We never had to cook with chicken bones or orange peels. You can be an adjunct professor and not live in poverty. You're not going to be rich. You're not going to be wealthy. But you cannot be in poverty if you can stop going to Starbucks, if you can figure out how to not get student loans, if you can figure out how to fucking put an avocado on a piece of bread instead of paying $6 for a smashed avocado. It's not that hard, kids. It's not that fucking hard. It can be done. You just have to spend less money than you make. And then there are those who are either on the streets or teetering on the edge of losing stable housing. The Guardian has spoken to several such academics, several of them. There's several. How many hundreds of thousands of adjuncts are there in the United States? The Guardian spoke to several. Our sample size was 2 people. This must be a real problem. The Guardian has spoken to several such academics, including an adjunct living in a shack north of Miami and another sleeping in her car in Silicon Valley. The adjunct who turned to sex work makes several thousand dollars per course, and she teaches about 6 per semester. She estimates that she puts in 60 hours a week. Well, maybe she should work on being a little more efficient. Sally sells seashells by the seashore. Maybe she should outsource. It's what the colleges do. They outsource the teaching to low-paid adjuncts. Oh, wait, you can't outsource when you're the outsourcee. Great one. Do you really think it's funny that these people are struggling? Yes, I do. I fucking think it's hilarious. You made bad choices. You get consequences from your bad choices. Yes, it's funny. I think it's funny. It is hilarious to me. Well, great one. Haven't you ever made a bad choice? Yeah, I have. And you know what came with the bad choices I've made? Consequences. I didn't fucking go on the internet and whine about it. I know. Personal responsibility is a social construct created by the patriarchy to oppress women. Yes, I know. Notice how all the adjuncts in this article are all women. Just pointing that out. As far as I know, they're all women. We'll find out if any of them are men. I'm betting you they're all women. Okay. Whoa, 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 whoa. All right. I just read ahead. All right, I'm about to lose my shit. She estimates she puts in 60 hours a week, but she struggles to make ends meet after paying $1,500 in monthly rent. Okay, here we go. Here's your first problem. Why are you paying $1,500 a month in rent? And with student loans that include interest, amount to a few hundred thousand dollars. And student loans that, including interest, amount to a few hundred thousand dollars. Okay, but that doesn't tell me what her a few hundred. Wait. Whoa. Hold it. A few hundred. So she has 200 thousand dollars of student loan debt? What the fuck did you major in that cost $200,000? Math is hard. What did you major in that you thought you would be able to pay off a $200,000 loan after you got that diploma? What is this person's major? Why? Once again, no, just like when a guy in Las Vegas shoots a bunch of people, notice how we don't talk about, is he the product of a single mother or did he have a fucking normal family, the evil patriarchal nuclear family? We don't talk about the mental illnesses or what medications he was on, none of that. All we do is white supremacy and Donald Trump, right? We got to focus on that. Notice how we're not talking about what this person is majoring in or what this person is teaching. I can promise you this person is not teaching microbiology. $1,500 a month rent. Her income from teaching comes to $40,000 a year. That's significantly more than most adjuncts. A 2014 survey found the median income for adjuncts is only $22,041 a year, whereas for full-time faculty, it, the median income, I'm assuming is what they mean by it, is $47,500. Yeah, that's what I was reading ahead and I saw that. Honey, you're making $40,000 a year. I hate to break this to you. That's not poor. $40,000, once again, you're not Bill Gates. But $40,000 a year is not poverty. I don't make $40,000 a year. Would you like me to count my $100 bills again for you? The adjunct professor I dated who taught French, she wasn't making $40,000 a year. Well, I don't think she was. I actually don't know. You are not poor. You have $200,000 in student loans and you're paying $1,500 a month for rent. You are not poor. You have made bad choices. I know, you women don't ever want to hear about how your fucking bad choices might affect your outcomes. I understand. You think that because you have vagina, that you have some sort of immunity from consequences. You don't. There is no immunity from consequences. We have this entire thing called the government that's tried to create immunity from consequences. And all it's done is lead to more and more inferior people populating the surface of the planet Earth. Okay, when you insulate yourself from consequences, or when you go through your life thinking that you are insulated from the consequences of your action, this is where you end up. Recent reports have revealed the extent of poverty among professors, but the issue is long-standing. Right, this has become a new thing the virtue signal about, even though it's been around for a long time. Several years ago, it was thrust into the headlines in dramatic fashion when Mary Faith Carosi, Mary Faith is hyphenated, an adjunct professor of romance languages in her 50s. Okay, look, guys, people. An adjunct professor of romance languages. Look, linguistic skills, great. Learning other languages, fantastic. But what makes you think you can make a living teaching languages? I'm going to teach about romance languages. Okay, so you're competing with fucking learning by home and the internet and private tutors and people just learning. It's what? What are you doing? What are you thinking? An adjunct professor in romance languages in her 50s, otherwise known as being past the wall, on the wrong side of the wall, revealed she was homeless and protested outside the New York State Education Department. Okay, once again, how much money was she making? Okay, she's homeless. Well, first of all, you're in New York. I don't know. I'm assuming they mean New York City. Well, New York City. I don't know. New York State Education. If you're homeless, why don't you? They're paying you something. Why don't you get a place to live? You're 50 years old. Oh, wait. Are you going to tell me that you can't afford rent because you're 50 years old and you're still paying your student loans? It's not my fault I'm homeless. I'm not getting paid what I deserve. It's the patriarchy. Quote, we take a kind of vow of poverty to continue practicing our profession, Deborah Lee Scott, who is working on a documentary about adjuncts, said in an email. Yes, let's milk this for all it's worth. Let's make a documentary about how you don't have any fucking money because you have a worthless degree. I'm sorry, you don't have any money because the patriarchy is oppressing you. Because you don't have any money because those evil Republicans who run those colleges won't give you a raise. Oh, wait a minute, the colleges are run by liberals. But wait, if you work for a state college, the raises have to come from the government, and the government is run by Congress, which is filled with Democrats. Oh, but the governor's a Republican, right? Oh, wait, the governor's a Democrat. Ah, shit. Well, but they're white men. We're back at the patriarchy. It's all the patriarchy, my friends. There is no wrong thing. There is nothing undesired by a woman that has happened to a woman that cannot be blamed on the patriarchy. It's like White supremacist. It's an excuse for everything. Great one. Why is your hot tea cold? Well, white supremacist. Great one. Why can't you stay on topic on the podcast? Well, white supremacist. Great one. How come your pauses are so long? Well, white supremacist. Quote, we do it because we are dedicated to scholarship, to learning. No, you're not. We do it because we are dedicated to scholarship, to learning, to our students, and to our disciplines. Unquote. No, you do it, number one, because you're lazy, and number two, because you can't get a better job making more money. Adjuncting has grown as funding for public universities has fallen by more than a quarter between 1990 and 2009. Okay, hang on. Hang on. I gotta look at this because when we say, okay, American Sociological Association, Task Force on Contingent Faculty. Reports. What is this shit? All right, I'm not digging this. I don't have time for this. When you say that funding for public universities has fallen, what exactly do you mean by that? I know what they mean. What they mean is money directly given to the college by the government after it has been stolen from the taxpayers. Okay, at the same time, your tuition continues to go up. So see, notice how they say, well, funding for public universities has fallen. Okay, but has the amount of money the universities make gone up or gone down? I'm not talking, has the total amount of money coming in when you count the tuition, right? If the funding is going down, how is Colorado State University here in the People's Republic of Fort Collins building a, how did they just build a brand new football stadium? They're building buildings all over campus. There is no shortage of money over there. You look at the construction, you see there's no shortage of money. They just built a new health center. They built a new parking garage. They built a new biology building. They've built a couple of other buildings. I don't really know what they are because I don't know anybody who's associated with them. I mean, in the last 6 months, there have been at least 10 major construction things on campus here. So see, this is a great example of how mainstream media presents information in a way that is misleading. Well, the funding for public universities has fallen. And yes, CSU, Colorado State University, is a public university. But the amount of money coming in to the universities via tuition is not falling. Not only does tuition go up every year, but every year enrollment goes up, at least if you know what the fuck you're doing. CSU, there's more students every goddamn year. They brag about this. We, the normal people here in Fort Collins who aren't associated with college, we have to hear about it all the time. CSU comes, well, this year we're going to get 2,000 more students than last year. And that's like their goal is every year to get more and more students. And the tuition goes up and more students, and you get more money. I don't want to hear this shit that there's no money. Pr- Private institutions also recognize the allure of part-time professors. Generally, they are cheaper than full-time staff, yes, don't receive benefits or support for their personal research, yes, and their hours can be carefully limited so they do not teach enough to qualify for health insurance. Yes, because the idea that you should get health insurance through your job is fucking stupid. But you dumbasses cling to that. You cling to that because you're tiny-brained little fucking morons. Why should your health insurance be provided by the people you work for? That is the dumbest fucking thing in the history. What history, great one? The history. But what about herstory? Oh, fuck herstory. We don't have any herstory here because women don't fucking do anything but whine, and that is not important. That's not something you fucking write down on a piece of paper. It's history. Men did all of it. Wherever you go to motherfucking South America, men did everything. You go to North America, men did it all. You go to Africa, men did fucking everything. Who dug those wells? The women? No, men. You go to fucking Asia, men did everything. You go to India, men. You go to Japan, men. Australia, men. Go to Europe, men. This is why adjuncts have been called idiots. No, this is why adjuncts have been called worthless. No, this is why adjuncts have been told to shut the fuck up. No, all right. Seriously, this is why adjuncts have been called the fast food workers of the academic world. Now, I thought they were called fast food workers because, like people in fast food, they do a job that doesn't require any kind of specific skill set, and anyone could do it. This is why adjuncts have been called the fast food workers of the academic world. Among labor experts, adjuncting is defined as precarious employment. Oh yes, as opposed to other people who have no chance of being unemployed. A growing category that includes temping and sharing economy gigs such as driving for Uber. An American Sociological Association task force focusing on precarious academic jobs, meanwhile, has suggested that faculty employment is no longer a stable middle-class career. Gee, I wonder if that could be because higher education is a giant fucking joke. Now here we have a picture with a caption, and it shows this. It could be a woman. I know nowadays you can't assume. Oh my God. See, once again, I was tempted to just tone down a little bit and maybe try to be nice and just not say that this is a fucking terribly ugly woman. The woman is fucking hideously ugly. But then I read the caption and no, she's hideously fucking ugly. Adjunct English professor Ellen James Penny. James Penny is her hyphenated last name. You have a hyphenated last name and you have a fucking degree in English. No, you're fucking ugly. I'm not being nice to you. Hyphenated last name. I'm not being nice to you. Oh God. And her husband live in a car with their two dogs. Ladies and gentlemen, what have I told you? Indicators of insanity in women. Not normal insanity. All girls are a little bit insane. Okay, we've been through this before. All women are slightly insane from the perspective of men. All men are slightly insane from the perspective of women. This is because of this thing that many of you out there don't believe in called evolution. See, men and women evolved differently. I know. Oh my God, are you being triggered? Do you need a safe space? So she's homeless, she has a hyphenated last name, and they have two dogs. I'm so glad Aaron Clary sent me this link. My God. They have developed a system. Keep nothing on the dash, nothing on the floor. You can't look like you're homeless. You can't dress like you're homeless. So once again, you have a husband. Does your husband have a job? Does he also have a worthless college degree? How do you have two incomes and you can't afford a place to live? What are you doing with your money? I know you think I fucking hate women. This is a serious fucking question. How do you have two fucking incomes and you can't afford a place to live? What are you doing with your money? The struggle to stay in housing can take many forms. No, it doesn't take many forms. The struggle to stay in housing takes one fucking form. You get a job, and then you pay each month. You either pay your rent, or you pay your house payment. It doesn't take many forms. And a second job is one way adjuncts seek to buoy their finances. Oh my God, they have to get second jobs. Nobody in the history of the human species has ever had to get a second job until these poor little adjuncts had to get one. Oh my goodness, you are so oppressed. The white supremacists are oppressing the... I cannot believe the white supremacists are forcing these pure, virginal adjunct professors who care about the children's to get second jobs. This is just fucking Donald Trump. He is literally Hitler. Literally Hitler. I mean, he's not just literally Hitler. He is literally, literally Hitler. The professor who turned to sex work says it helps her keep a toehold in the rental market. Quote, "This is something I chose to do," unquote. She's, yes, like getting a worthless degree. Did something you chose to do. Adding that for her, it is preferable to, say, a six-hour shift at a bar after teaching all day. Quote, "I don't want to come across as, oh, I had no other choice. This is how hard my life is," unquote. No, you had plenty of choices. You're right. Hey, don't get me wrong. If I could get paid to suck a dick and it was enough money to pay bills, I wouldn't suck a dick. If I was a chick, maybe I'd suck a dick and pay the bills. But if I could get paid to have sex with, oh, I don't know, let's say Dutch hockey girls, I would do that. All right. Advertising online, she makes about $200 an hour for sex work. I would fuck for $200 an hour. Of course, as a guy, so let's see, $200 an hour, if I could last 7 seconds, How many times do I have to have sex to make 1 hour's worth of work? Damn. See, that part makes it hard. Makes it hard? Oh, that just slipped out. Oh, slipped out. All right, anyway. Advertising online, she makes about $200 an hour for sex work. Once again, showing that yes, your body is worth more money than your college diploma. Does anyone remember when I read that excerpt from the book about Making Space 1999 where they interviewed the actress Barbara Bain? And this was back in, what, 1976, 1977? where she got a diploma in, what the fuck did she get her degree in? I want to say it was sociology or something like that. You know, and then she got into modeling and she said, she's like, I found out that I could make more money in an hour doing modeling than I could make in a day with my college diploma. And she said it was kind of, she said something to the effect of, it was not, I don't remember the exact words she used, but she's, you know, her point was, I discovered I could make more money with my body than with my mind. And this wasn't the best thing ever. It destroyed her understanding of reality, which again, because you women have all been brainwashed. Right? You've been told that you fucking go to college and blah, blah. No, honey, if you're a woman and you're attractive, your body will bring you more money than a fucking college diploma. Right? It's just like the lovely and adorable Jordan. She's wasting her life getting a goddamn diploma in fucking business and recreation. And, you know, we're talking and she's like, yeah, I only slept 2 hours last night because I spend all my time, I'm either working or doing homework and all this stuff. And it's like, she's young and she's beautiful. If she just took her body and went out and found a rich man. But no, she's been brainwashed into thinking that going to college for something worthless is the path to success. Yes, sweetie, you can make $200 an hour for having sex. You can make minimum wage for teaching English. That is correct. Welcome to reality. Welcome to supply and demand. Welcome to other people decide how valuable you are. You don't get to make that decision. $200 an hour. She sees clients only a handful of times during the semester and more often during the summer when classes end and she receives no income. You knew it was a 9 month, a year job when you took it. Quote, I'm terrified that a student is going to come walking in, she said, and the financial concerns have not ceased. Quote, I constantly have tension in my neck from gritting my teeth all night. Unquote. Okay. Sweetie pie, I understand you're educated and therefore you're not very smart. Okay. The great one grinds his teeth as well, probably due to the stress of being surrounded by inferior people because natural selection has been circumvented for the past 150 fucking years. You can get this thing at Walmart. You've heard of Walmart, right? It's where the other poor people, the adjuncts and the Walmart workers. Walmart. It's called a tooth guard. You put it in boiling water. Can you afford to boil? Is that in the adjunct cookbook? How to boil water? Did you need instructions on that? You buy the tooth guard at Walmart. It costs like $20. So that's 1/10 of what you make in 1 hour for having sex. Okay? So you go have sex. You take the $200. You go to Walmart. You buy the fucking tooth guard. You drop it in the boiling water. You take it out. You stick it in your mouth. After it's cooled down a little bit, I have to fucking probably tell you that. Read the instructions, sweetie. You're an English major. You should be able to read. And then you mold it around your teeth. And when you go to bed at night, you put it in your fucking mouth. And it keeps your teeth from grinding. And it reduces that. See, the great one knows because the great one has this very same problem. But the great one knows how to go to Walmart and buy a fucking tooth guard because the great one doesn't have a fucking PhD in journalism. And these are the people that, once again, this is when you look at the millennials and you see how stupid they are. Remember, guys, I've said it before. I'll say it again. The millennials did not become stupid in a vacuum. Look at their parents and look at their teachers. $200 To keep their homes, some adjuncts are forced to compromise on their living space. Oh my God. Everybody has to compromise on their living space. Caprice Lawless, 65. Okay, she's 65 years old. Okay, here we... Oh my God. Oh my God. Just... All right, we're coming up on the end of the cast. I'm going to hold off on this. What do I have to talk about? What could I kill 2 minutes with? Silence. Oh, but that was the best part of your podcast right there where you weren't talking. I know. She's got to be... Okay. You want to send me email? If you're really pissed off, if you want me to stop talking about this because you think I shouldn't be allowed to talk about this, you can send me some hate mail. You can send that to God, dog spelled backwards, God at CYNLIBSOC.com on the interwebs. Remember, the website is CYNLIBSOC.com. Oh, my presidential platform, the great one. Great one for president, 2024. I will be running for president in 2024 after 8 years of the Trump and Fuhrer. Well, unless he screws up and we get some goddamn Democrat. Hillary Clinton, I'm telling you. Or Michelle Obama. If the Democrats are smart, and they are smart about winning elections, they would run Michelle Obama against the Trump and Fiora. Because Michelle, she's got all three, okay? She's a woman, so she's got the woman thing. She's black, and unlike Hussein Obama, she's full black. She's not just half black. She's a real black person. And she is a transvestite. She is a tranny. She used to be a man. Now she's a woman. So she's got it all wrapped up. She is the perfect person, and she has no political experience, just like the Trump and Fuhrer. Perfect! Like a match made to do. Can you imagine that campaign? Whew. I mean, Trump told Megyn Kelly to change her tampon and shut her mouth. Imagine what he would say to Michelle Obama.